Edge guy.
All right, I'm going to teach you.
Edge guy never changes.
I'm going to teach you a secret, right?
All
right. Because Michael Caine taught me this via a television show. If you want to do the perfect Boston accent to get into it, you got to say, park the car in the car park.
Park the car in the car park.
Yeah, so then that leads in. So you go, park the car in the car park.
When was Michael Caine doing a Boston
accent? Law never changes.
What is Michael Caine doing a Boston accent?
I don't know, but...
I want to hear that.
He taught me that, and then if you want to do like a Southern, you say, four-door phone. And now you got your Southern accent going. You just got to get right
in
it.
Hello, welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 12th, 2015. I wanted to say not November so badly. So hi, this is Mike, and I'm joined by Edge. I can't believe Fallout's only been out for 2 days. I feel like I played 10 hours of it already.
Right.
So it's like, I'm like so deep into it now.
Spoiler, guess what we're talking about today.
This is our Fallout 4 episode, with maybe a little bit of a talk about other Fallout things. But yes, yeah, so let's talk about Fallout 4, and anything else we want to talk about is in the special zone.
Probably BlizzCon.
Yeah, there's some fun BlizzCon stuff, but new format, we talk about important things first, so let's get to Fallout.
Fallout is so good, yeah, it's good.
Right, it's funny, because like, it's been a while since, New Vegas came out probably, 2009 or so?
Something 10. Like that.
I mean, Fallout 3 was 2007. Or 2008, I want to say. Because it was my second game of the year we did this show, and our first year was 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so God, that was a while ago. It's like, I forgot how much I liked that game, in a way.
Fallout 3 was fun. I easily put 200 hours into Fallout 3.
I still don't get how you didn't play New Vegas.
I think because I put 200 hours into Fallout 3, and those games were mechanically very similar.
Yeah, for sure. No, they were very similar, but they were still, I don't know, I liked New Vegas a lot.
Someday I'll finish, and once that gets added to backwards compatibility, I'll maybe throw it in.
That might be a thing now where it's like kind of weird to go back to it after 4. I don't know, maybe.
So yeah, so here we are at Fallout 4, set in Boston, a.k.a. the Commonwealth, and you want to talk about, like, mechanically what's different about this?
Like, well, mechanically not a whole... Like, the VATS still... I'll tell you what, I feel like the VATS in 3 was slower,
Well, no, the VATS in 3 completely paused.
That's
time.
What it was? Okay, I thought so.
In this game, time is just slowed, which I like it because it requires a little bit more quick reaction and thinking on your feet. It's a little hard in a crowded scene when, like, you don't quite know what you're going to be targeting.
Oh, yeah, because sometimes targeting with the right stick is a bit of a pain.
Yes, it's a little imprecise, but what I like is if I see a guy rounding a corner and I'm in VATS, I'll target what I want and I wait for that moment where he pops out just enough for that percentage to like go up enough and bam, fire off my shots. Mm-hmm. The other big change is the way crits work in the game, which I really like. So instead of crits just being a chance, the higher your critical stat, the faster your meter fills, and once the crit meter's full... You can fire it off whenever you want on an individual shot.
Now, is that an automatic hit also?
I believe so.
Because
I was playing an encounter. It happens early in the game. It's not a spoiler, but you go in a building and clear out some bad guys. And there's like the kind of boss guy at the end. He was above me in a small office. His head was barely peeking out of a window. I had a 2% chance of hitting his head and nothing on anything else. Mm-hmm. And I used my crit and took him out in one shot. And I was like, this is amazing. I love this so much.
Yeah. So, yeah, mechanically, it seems pretty similar. Some of the big differences that jump out at me is, one, your player character has talks now. Mm-hmm. It's much more like a Commander Shepard kind of thing.
Right.
He has full dialogue with people, and when you respond to people, it's not like kind of old school adventure game where you see everything you're going to click.
Right, which is what Bethesda's always done.
Right, yeah. So this is interesting. Yeah, now it's just, it's like sarcastic. Yes, no. Which I think some people are going to have mixed opinions on that. I think it works out fine. And, mm-hmm. Plus, it's like, before when you persuaded somebody, you like 75% chance of working. This time it's like, it's yellow if you have a pretty good chance and red mm-hmm. if you don't.
Yeah.
Right. I guess the big mechanical difference is like all of the crafting and building stuff.
Ooh, it's so good.
Which is like,
it's so good. Well, the game does something that I love when a crafting system does. it automates the bullshit in between. I have stuff. I want to build something. So, for example, if you want to build a scope onto your gun, you need glass, you need metal, and you need adhesive. I don't have to go into another menu, find my duct tape, separate out the cloth and the adhesive.
Right, which
part.
Is kind of like what you had to do with Witcher 3.
Does it.
Right, and you can... And you put... Yeah, and count all the stuff you've stored in that town, right?
Yes. You can get a perk later on that allows you to create supply chains between towns, and that's how you share.
Oh, yeah. That's what that means. Oh, I'm getting that perk.
So now I, all of a sudden I need 6 charisma real bad.
Yeah, luckily my charisma is super high, so I can get that.
It's the leader perk or whatever. Mm-hmm. There actually is a glitch that was causing a lot of confusion. People thought, like, okay, if you needed something that had... 2 components in, say, screws and adhesive, and you needed it for the screws, and you didn't break it down ahead of time, people thought the adhesive got lost.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It just doesn't show in your inventory correctly right away, somewhere. But it exists.
Right. And, like, you can also, if you're within, like, your town boundaries, you can just kind of go around the craft mode and just dismantle things.
Yeah, like ruin buildings and fallen trees. And
if there's, that's cool, because that lets you clear stuff out. And also
have a little
resources.
More of a blank slate, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the interface for that could be a little better, especially when it comes to managing the people in your town.
Yeah.
There's no menu for it. You literally have to go find the person you want, and they can be anywhere.
Yeah.
And, like, manually click them.
Yeah, there's certain things, like the way power works, I didn't realize it. The game doesn't really do a great job of explaining some things. Like, you have to connect power lines to generators to certain things.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten the power yet.
Right. And plus, and then there's things like I put up a trap, like a flamethrower trap. Like, oh, cool. And then I plugged it up to a generator, and then the trap just went off, and then it's like, you need to use this material to set it again. I'm like, oh, I need to use, like, a certain generator that has a switch so that I could turn the trap on if I want to, or with a sensor, yeah. So there's like, a lot of complexities that are not immediately explained.
Well, and let me now put this to you. A lot of people have said how, like, a lot of stuff doesn't feel well explained and blah, blah, blah. But then... The other hand is where it's, like, over-explained.
No, and you're I'd rather have it this way. Because I am figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, a huge deal. But, yeah, it is definitely, like, it can be a little overwhelming at first, but you just kind of have to buckle down and get into it.
And the funny thing is, so we were talking about this yesterday, but, like, I wouldn't even dream right now, at least, like, early on in the game, of going online and finding, like, here's where all the bobbleheads are. But I have no problem talking to you and be like, oh, did you find this bobblehead?
And that's,
because it, like, feels more organic, I guess.
That's something that I really like about, even more so than Skyrim. Because in Skyrim, when you're exploring, I feel like, you know, usually you find a cave. And you can go in the cave, and there'll be cavey-like things in there. In Fallout, like, you find a building, and there's usually, like, a little story that you learn in the terminals. And you'll find, you know, comic books or bobbleheads or things that aren't just a weapon, where maybe this weapon will be good or not, who knows, but, like, things that'll permanently increase kind of things. Like, without, you know, engaging spoiler, like, I ran to, like, a comic book store. I'm like, oh, cool. And, like, I went through, and there's, like, this whole thing in this comic. And it wasn't tied to a quest or anything.
Ooh, I went over that comic book
but
store.
But it was, like, a whole thing I did, and it was, like, rewarding. My companion even had, like, special dialogue for it and stuff like that. And like, you go through, like, the whole thing, get to the top floor, and, like, again, I'm through, like, these computer terminals. There's this whole story there. At the end of it, I get some really cool special items that are really unique, including, like, an outfit that's, like,
ooh.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, this is, like, really cool. So, yeah, just, like, I love, like, kind of, like, the organic stuff like that. And, again, like, having the bobbleheads and the comic books are, like, a big incentive for that. Like I said, outside, just, like, because the Skyrim's always, like, here's a sword. I'm like, well, I'll throw this in the stash.
Yeah.
You know?
But I even, like, I came across a location that was, like, had a bunch of raiders, and I go inside, I'm clearing them out, and, like, this, you know, named raider comes out at the end with a huge minigun. I take her out. And I'm, like, looting her corpse, and there's a locket on it. And for some reason, this locket, when I looted, immediately came up in, like, the 3D and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
that's where you know it's a special
thing.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, what's this lead to? Like, that's awesome. Like, completely organic. Also, God bless the person who came up with the way you grab loot off stuff now.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into a menu.
Yeah,
you just look at it. You tab with the arrow keys, hit A. I often accidentally bring up the Pip-Boy because I think I need to exit
out
of it.
Yeah, me too. I do that a lot, too. It's funny.
But it works so seamlessly.
I love
nice.
The perk system in general. Not just how it works, but, like, the way that, like, the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, it's just very...
Oh, it's greatly designed. And I like that it's not a tree.
Right.
Like, you don't need to fulfill requisite perks to get other perks. You just need the stats and the level.
Right, and it kind of gives the special... It gives more meaning to the special. So it's, like, first, so, you know, each thing in the special, which is strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. Ooh.
Good
shot. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, in the very beginning of the game, you boost, you know, you pick one of the, which stats you're going
to
have.
You get 21 points to spread right. around. And everything starts at one.
And each number is a different perk. So, like, and, like, they start off pretty mundane, like 10%. Damage resistance if you have one in endurance, but then like at the end of it they get kind of crazy, like Gung Fu for
agility
yeah. which is like if you target different people in vets you can keep more damage,
more yeah
right like and if stats. if you for whatever reason put 10 points into agility at the very beginning, Gung Fu could be your first perk.
Yeah.
Now each perk usually has stages, and it's like those have level requirements.
Yeah, like usually stage 3 of the 10 point perks right. are level 50.
So you can't, like, make a character, like, the first minute of the game who can, like, break into every lock in the game. But you can figure things out, like, well, maybe I don't really want to care that much about, you know, intelligence, but I want enough so I can get the hacking thing. And that'll usually be kind of mid. Mm-hmm. So, again, you don't, like, super... But if you, you know, if you have, like, a 5 or 4 intelligence, you can eventually get all of the hacking levels in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that I just think it works out really cool. Plus, again, it's not like super static, because you could just use a whole perk just increasing one of those stat points. And you can find the bobbleheads and stuff
and to increase comics them. And you are special books. Mm-hmm. I just let you pick one of any of them.
What do you think of, like, the whole beginning in general?
It's cool because, first of all, it's a lot more of the history of the Fallout universe than I think most people are aware of.
This is the first one that's set at all pre...
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I think that really changes your perception of the game world, too. Because, like, when you play Fallout 3 and you find, like, a location, you're thinking how this was used recently. Like if you find, like, a house that's boarded up, you think, like, oh, some drifter came through here. In this game, though, you also, in the back of your head, you're still thinking what it was like 200 years ago in this spot. I think a lot of people don't realize, too, that I think they think the bombing happened in the 50s in Fallout, but it did, in fact, happen in our future.
Right, yeah, I wasn't really super clear on that either until this prologue kind mm-hmm. of made that a bit more clear.
Yeah, 2077 is when the bombing
right.
happens.
Right, it's just like, there's like a diverging point after Hiroshima where it's like...
Instead of going into like microprocessing technology, we went full-on atomic.
Right.
Which explains the cool. aesthetic and the fact that computers are still the size of a room.
Right. But it's a much shorter starting experience than Fallout 3s in general.
Which I think is smart, because so often with the Bethesda games, you do, at least I do, I tend to go back and just create characters, even though I don't play them very long, just to mess around with them. So I kind of appreciate that shorter start.
Yeah, because sometimes, it's like on your third playthrough of Skyrim, you get tired of that.
Yeah, I've done that a lot.
Right?
I've done that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you lose some things, like for example, like this when you put in your special stats, it's not as organic as it was in 3, where it's like you were taking a test, and it was like a whole thing. And this one's just like, the guy comes up, like, I need your name, and also pick your stats.
Well, the other nice thing, too, is they've done a good job with this, like, if you care about role-playing at all, I guess. The way this backstory's set up, it makes sense for your player character to be just about anything. Because he is a combat veteran, so he knows how to use a gun.
And that's like makes sense. So yeah, you have to have that a little bit of that, because you're going to be shooting people a lot.
And that alone, even in the prologue, can affect, like, maybe he's a jackass because he's hardened by war. Maybe he's not. Whatever. But then you have, and again, I'll be vague, although I think it's kind of common knowledge, but you have the kind of catalyst that starts your adventure.
Right.
And that could be the thing that either you're like, well, I'm going to persevere and do this, or that's it, fuck everything. Like,
right.
It, you know, because like even Skyrim, like, you were captured and about to be imprisoned by the Imperials. Why would you ever join them?
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah.
And I feel like this game avoids all that just by having a good setup.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that today. There's like, in Skyrim, there's no good, like, in-character reason to join the Imperial.
Yeah.
They're really, like, seconds away from, like, chopping your head off.
But that one guard was kind of nice to you.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, buddy. Jeez. So how about the technical stuff? It's not the best looking game in the world. And
I'll say this. And I think this has always been the case with Bethesda games.
It's clearly Skyrim Plus a little bit.
The environments look awesome.
Characters never look that good for some reason. I feel like it helped in Skyrim that everybody had these big beards that kind of hide their character model. And, like, the women didn't look as good, imagine that. But, like, all the bearded guys, they looked okay.
They
look
fine.
Right. But the lighting looks really good. Yeah, there's
lighting
stuff that
really
helps.
Good in this game.
Right. But there is still some of that Bethesda. And, I mean, open world games are always going to have some jankiness. And Witcher 3 is kind of brought up as, like, kind of like the shining beacon of how good an open world game can look, and like that game can look really good, but it still has like tons of jankiness and bugs and stuff. And there definitely is, and I don't want to sound like I'm giving them a free pass, but definitely is, you know, I've had a hard crash already, I had a soft crash already.
I thought I did, but I think it was more related to the beta of the Xbox dashboard, because the same thing happened to me, not in the game, where the keyboard was freezing.
See, my soft crash was, I tried to use a keyboard, a computer somebody else was on, and then it just was stuck. And then the hard crash just stopped at some point, I had to reset. The one thing I recommend everybody do is go into the settings, change like your autosave timer from every 10 minutes to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It'll just make more autosave spots and make your life easier. And also autosave in general.
I'm glad like quick save is so accessible on the console, which they've never done. Mm-hmm. You could quick save in Skyrim using Kinect.
Oh, that's funny.
You could just say quick save. That would do it. Oh, that was like the only reason to have a Kinect.
Better with Kinect.
That was true.
God.
The dragon shouts were just a novelty, but that was legitimately useful.
But yeah, I'm really, I just don't want to play so much more.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know what it is. Like, I started Dragon Age, kind of fell off it. It's unfair to say I literally played an hour of The Witcher and then had babies crying at me, so I really haven't given that game a fair chance. There was no way
Witcher came out in a bad time for you.
Yeah, it really did.
Witcher was a long game.
But I don't know what it is about Bethesda RPGs in general and Fallout in particular.
I
will clear out the dungeon, but I'll spend another 20 minutes in there just looking around.
Fallout, for whatever reason, seems more accessible and... I don't know. It's than like your average. I feel like there's more people that play Fallout than even Skyrim.
Which a lot of online journalists and personalities are like,
I'm an online journalist.
Yes, they're like astounded that this game is so mainstream. Like, and like, do you think like they should be? Like, it's a fairly hardcore game.
I guess but I mean, don't forget, this was Fallout 3 is the game that got me into Western RPGs after a lifetime of kind of resisting them. I think people generally like depth. I think people get confused when people like Call of Duty and stuff like that. But, you know, I think there's other things about the normal RPG experience that people find frustrating. Typically menus and stuff like that. And Fallout, for everything, one, it's not super menu heavy, and two, the menu is the Pip-Boy, probably like the best in-universe menu ever in one of these things. I think that helps a lot. It's very, and again, stuff like just like that special thing being so kind of intuitive and fun. I think it hits a good tonal balance too, where it's not like Grand Theft Auto where everything's like a complete farce, but there is like kind of a lighter side to it.
It's a dark humor.
Yeah, for sure.
That absolutely works.
Which, like, again, like Grand Theft Auto, it's not really a dark humor. It's just like sometimes it's silly and then sometimes, you know,
it's not. Yeah.
Right, so yeah. But yeah, I think that's kind of slightly why it's mainstream. Also, I think it wasn't mainstream until Bethesda took it over. I don't think Fallout 2 was a mainstream.
Well, that was early 90s PC role-playing game. Exactly. It was probably as mainstream as it could be back then.
Maybe. Did you really ever play the originals? I've
played them with air quote fingers. I've never gotten like super deep.
I got like kind of into Fallout 1. Like, I forget now if it was after Fallout 3 came out or before. But I never, like, beat it or anything.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Fallout 1's the one with, like, the timer, which is kind of annoying. Mm. It's like, you have this many days to find the water purifier.
Yeah, like, anytime I try to go back to those old computer RPGs, I don't know, it's just because, like, I'm more used to streamlined systems or what, but I can never wrap my head around them. And it kind of frustrates me that I can't. I'd love to, in theory.
It is interesting just how much of, like, that Fallout 1 is still there, in a way.
Yeah, it's very surprising, given how different of a format this is. I think it's right up there with Super Metroid, the Metroid Prime, I'd say, as far as conversion of a completely different,
that's a true point,
like point of view, but still maintaining the feel of the game and the game world.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. So yeah, Fallout 4 is very good. You should all play it.
So good. It's so good. I mean, honestly, like I said, I didn't put the time into some of those other games. I'll put the time into this one.
Oh, I'll play it a lot.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the only thing that, like, I'll probably beat it instead of, like, doing a lot of other things. There was a buy two, get one free thing, and I got Tomb Raider, and that's supposed to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And my review copy of Star Wars just came in. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I'm downloading the EA Access trial of Star Wars. I'll be playing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to need to buy any more games this year.
Yeah, I'm set.
I'm going to be busy. But, yeah, so Fallout's good. All right, Special Zone.
BlizzCon.
The first thing of the Hearthstone Adventure comes out, like, today.
You were wrong.
I know. Well, no, it's closer than you think.
Let's hear this.
Oh, Dwarf, that was the Explorers League Ray. Bran Bronsbeard is like the main guy in that. It was close. It was close.
I didn't even know that's okay.
I was kind of on the mark there. It's just, instead of doing like a specific raid, they're like, it's more of a concept this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, will be interesting.
So the whole new mechanic is the discover mechanic?
Right, which is, it's basically like, remember tracking the card for hunters?
For hunters.
It's kind of like that, but a bit more. It's like, instead of just like the cards in your deck, it's all cards for your class in general, and it's like usually like all 2 mana cost cards and stuff like that.
That's cool. So you, even a card you don't own could show up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
It's interesting. I don't think it's going to be meta changing, which I hope not, because I'm running a rank 7 right now. Right. So yeah, but it'll be interesting. Yeah, I haven't really looked too much at all the new cards, but we'll see. But yeah, that's, so I'm getting into that. A lot of Overwatch at the console version, which we all kind of saw, also saw that coming. The fact that it's not free to play did not.
Yeah, so
that's kind of surprising everybody.
On PC, there's a $40 version that has all 21 characters. Then on PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, they call it the Origins Edition, 21 characters and like 5 skins, and you get a bunch of like you get like a Warcraft pet, a card back in Hearthstone, Tracer is a hero in Heroes of the Storm, which
that's
is cool. So. And, of course, everyone's like, the PC version's cheaper. I'm like, no, it's just that particular version. Like, never mind.
I feel bad that, like, I feel like Tracer is, like, the character I want to play as the most because he's, like, such the poster child.
I want to be Winston, the big gorilla.
Yeah. The other guy from the CG video.
Yeah, what do you know?
Bad guy.
Cool. But, no, I really hope I get into the PC beta soon. I'll probably ultimately play this on Xbox One.
Yeah.
But I want to play it. Because it sounds fun.
It seems super cool. And like, that video, just like, it looks really neat. It's kind of, there is almost like that Super Monday Night Combat vibe, but a bit more streamlined, not quite as intense.
Well, and
like, as a MOBA.
It seems like a core mechanic of the game is switching your hero a lot.
Right, and that was their justification for why it couldn't be free to play. Mm-hmm. At least
now,
not.
I'm surprised, I mean, they could have gone the TF2, Dota 2 route, where
just
heroes are always free, but yeah, a lot of cosmetic.
Well, I think they know that they could sell this game because of Blizzard.
Just,
I mean,
it's funny how we've come full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be free. I'm like, what? It's $60 and I just get everything?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was thinking a little bit about how much I probably spent on Hearthstone that I decided to stop thinking about it. I was not going to do that, Matt, because I'll tell you what. It's above $60.
Yeah.
Well, but I play a lot of Hearthstone.
I know. Well, we bought $50 just for the...
Stop. Yeah, I know. I know. Almost every paycheck, I get at least one of those $10. Like,
oh,
I'm gonna
oh really?
Like, oh, I just got dust. That's okay. God. So, yeah, but what else?
So, Heroes of the Storm got 3 new heroes. Greymane. I forget her name, but she's a dryad.
Yeah. Greymane looks cool, and the Cho'Gall.
Cho'Gall. So, Cho'Gall.
That'd be fun for us to play.
Two-headed ogre, controlled by 2 people at once. So, one guy is Cho, who's like melee tank,
and
controls all the movement. And the other one's Gall, who just casts spells. And they have one synergized spell together, where Cho, like, basically bowls out this, like, ball of energy, but then Gall has to detonate it.
Yeah.
So, like...
That's gonna be super fun.
Yeah.
And plus, I got the BlizzCon ticket thing, so I'm gonna have this guy when he's out. So, I mean,
yes.
You have to, like, play with him and infect people with him.
Yeah, the only people who have Cho Gall to start are virtual ticket holders and people who actually went to BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. And then, if you play 2 matches with somebody with Cho Gall, you get Cho Gall. So he's, like, gonna spread virally.
Yeah.
Which I think is super smart.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
If you play 4 matches, you get, like, some gold or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a way to incentivize it. So
how about Legion? That opening CG thing was pretty sweet. I still kind of miss when, like, the opening CG things were kind of less, like...
Here's a montage.
Right, I liked when they were more, like, montages to, like, player
Everybody
characters.
Everybody loves a montage!
Now it's just, like, a story cutscene, which is kind of, like, sets up the, you know, plot, which
people,
is fine.
People were very excited that Sylvanas was in it.
Well,
everyone loves Sylvanas.
It was
Sylvanas.
Cool, because, yeah, we finally got a CG variant and a CG Sylvanas. So, yeah.
Actually, no orcs at all. Has that ever happened? Lich King.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's about time. Well, I mean, orcs are already so prominent, and then I liked Warlords of Draenor, but God, I was sick of orcs by the end of it. this needs to be a very orc-light expansion in general.
Sounds like, well, aside from that Gul'dan's your first baddie, but...
Yeah, whatever, that's fine, because he's kind of like the leftover piece of business from the last expansion. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, so they detailed all the new zones. They all look super cool.
All the zones level to your character,
right?
So it's
except for the last one.
Yes, the last one is like an ultimate end zone. So they're calling it like the first true open world,
which is cool. Which makes sense because the zones are always so kind of self-contained, anyways.
Yeah,
it's like why not just like you know go in an order or whatever order you want to. So yeah, that I think that's gonna be super cool.
I think that's rad. What was the other thing they were talking about? The starting zone for the demon hunters and how that's going to work. So you'll start at level 98.
Okay, I didn't actually read too much about
it. Yeah, it's very similar to the
Lich King.
To the Death Knight starting experience. Yeah, by the time you finish it, you'll be 100.
Okay.
And they have like a whole separate character customization from like a normal Night Elf or Blood Elf would, because you're
putting like your tattoos
and your horns and everything.
That's cool.
And so yeah, that's gonna be.
It is only Night Elves and Blood Elves I can beat.
Yes, yeah, that is it.
That's the biggest race restriction of a class yet, right?
I believe so.
It has to be it.
Yeah,
but it makes sense.
There's gonna be a lot of demon hunters running
there
around.
Well, it's because everybody's gonna get one.
And it's interesting too because there are only two specs,
right?
So you can have both specs.
And they're are they both? They're not both DPS, are they?
No, DPS and tank.
There's tank. Okay, a tank spec. That's good, at least. I almost wish there was just a healing spec, just because there's going to be so many of them.
Yeah.
Can you make them useful? No,
that's not coming out until September.
Yeah, that's longer than I thought.
Like, is there any content coming out in the next
year? There's got to be something. There's got to be another raid or something. Maybe even just legacy raids. There's got to be something to keep people
in the game.
Right, because, I mean, even that last raid was a bit ago now, so I don't know what's going on. But, so yeah, Legion will be cool when that comes out in September. Yeah. What did you think of the trailer from the movie?
I think it looks good, but it didn't, like, blow my mind or anything.
Yeah, people were, like, a lot of people seemed really down on it. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
It's just, it is kind of weird, because I feel like it's not really the Warcraft story that, like, a lot of Warcraft fans are all that. It's like the Warcraft 1 story, kind of, but it sounds like with, like, a lot more sympathy for the orcs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're kind of retconning it to be a bit more like Warcraft 3.
Right, yeah, because in the original, like, the orcs were just bad.
Yeah.
There was no gray areas.
Right. Well, this one has a lot of, like, the redskin orcs. Like, there's not... Yeah, so... We'll see. But, yeah. I'm still optimistic. Mm-hmm. I like Duncan Jones a lot, and I think it could be cool.
Diablo 3 got a patch.
Yeah. I did not...
no Diablo news.
Not quite the expansion news I was hoping for.
But, StarCraft came out last week.
Yeah,
I got my collector's edition copy, which came with...
Oh, my God.
Which came with three free decks of Hearthstone cards.
Aww.
Dust, baby, dust!
Oh, God. I started it. I'm so bad. StarCraft's just, like, the one that's...
Well,
just, it's just
I've never actually finished either the first two.
I finished the first one.
So I've been doing that, trying to get caught up. And I'll tell you what. The thing I like about single player is it encourages the bad play habits I have in multiplayer, where I just like the turtle and build cool things.
Exactly. I can do the single player. I can do that.
Yeah.
But like multiplayer, I'm hopeless. What? When did the first one of those come out? It was because I was in the our East Cala condo.
Yeah. No. It's
that's like 2000.
It's been 6 years.
It was a long time. It's been kind of a long. This is a very interesting release plan they had.
Well, think of how different game. Like, when the first StarCraft came out, I don't think League of Legends and Dota and all that were nearly...
They
existed.
I'll tell you what. I feel like... I'm sure StarCraft 2 is selling fine, but it does feel like League of Legends and, like, Dota 2 have taken a lot of the out of those.
And I'll tell you what. Like, so going back and playing StarCraft 2, the thing that's so obtuse to me in it is every of the units that have, like, hotkey abilities... They're all, like, unique buttons.
Yeah.
Why isn't it just QWER?
Yeah.
And it's 1 through 4? Like, that would, like, it's like, can't they, like, add that in? That would make so much more sense.
I'm not so much in Darkness, but I remember I liked Warcraft 3 because, like, the whole hero unit thing, which is, like, kind of where a lot of these
MOBA
conventions came from.
And it was smaller scale, too,
yeah.
which made it more manageable for me.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. StarCraft is not quite my thing.
Yeah.
I just kind of accepted it.
Again, I like the single player, but there is some kind of co-op mode, too, that I think we should try.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Remember Red Alert 3?
Yeah.
Had Ric Flair in it.
We thought it was going to be sweet, and it was okay.
It was all right.
It was fine.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was okay.
I mean, like, again, it was an RTS.
Yeah. On a console. Halo Wars 2, coming next year. So, yeah. Anything else from BlizzCon you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I think we were pretty extensive there. Just, you know. I think that's going to do it for this show, actually.
Okay.
So, next week, maybe we could talk about Battlefront.
Oh, yeah. So, definitely talking about Battlefront, maybe.
Okay, all right. When's it actually come out?
Tuesday.
Oh. Tuesday?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it comes out the 20th.
No, 17th.
Oh, it's a weekend.
You suck.
Yeah, well, I'm like worried for... Okay, well... All right, everybody, we'll see you next week right here in the Explaining Bro Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, ebpodcast.com, all that good stuff. And we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.